Father, that's sure what we'd try to pray today is just make us a blessing. Lord, let us know today that there's a lot of ways we can be a blessing to people, and a lot of times, Lord, we wouldn't even know it if we just try to follow you and do what you say to do. Thank you, Lord, for all these folks who've been such a blessing to me. And I pray, Lord, today that you'd enable me by your Spirit to feed the flock of God. Help me, Lord, to preach something from your Word that would help these folks down the road of life. Lord, encourage them today. I pray especially for the ladies of this church and the women of this church, Lord, that this might be a real encouraging message for them. And Lord, I pray, help them not to get discouraged because maybe of some areas, Lord, where they fail. But help them, Lord, just to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. And Lord, just give us the vision that we need and help us, Lord, to be what we ought to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's take off reading 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to begin at verse number 8 where we left off last week on the life of Elisha. The life of Elisha. The Bible said in verse number 8, everybody there say amen.
Amen.
And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant. Now, I'm going to just say a little bit for future services. You want to make a study of this guy named Gehazi. He is an interesting Bible study, and you can learn a lot from him about stuff that ain't right, stuff that's not good, even when you're close, very close to even someone like Elisha. It's amazing. Elisha was a servant to Elijah, and Gehazi is a servant to Elisha, but they're two totally different people. Absolutely. But this wasn't what you could see on the outside. It was what was going on the inside. Anyway, he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called for her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life. By the way, that phrase time of life is referring to spring. And if you'll just follow the time of life with even animals, you'll find out, you know, when do deer fawn and when do, you know, things. That's what that's talking about, the seasonal. But specifically the springtime when a lot of things were born. Okay, about time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. Verse number 17, And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say to her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. He arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth. If you ever wondered where mouth-to-mouth recitation came for, it came out of the Bible. It came out of this passage of Scripture, the idea that you could breathe. It also came out of Genesis, that you could breathe into a person the breath of life. There's not much you've ever really heard about that didn't somewhere have a scriptural base and roots to it. He went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times. C.H. Spurgeon has a message, the seven sneezes of the child. I'm not going to preach that, but it's interesting. And the child, verse 35, opened his eyes. And he, Elisha, called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come up unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. That is the story of one of the most famous women in the Bible called the Shunammite woman. I want you to go to 2 Kings chapter 8. Just go a couple, three pages further to chapter 8. We're going to read six verses and then get into this handout that I've given you and try to go through it pretty fast. And I hope it'll be real interesting to you. It was to me. Verse number 1, chapter 8. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life. That's her. Saying, arise and go down thy household and sojourn whithersoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after saying to the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. It's evident to me in this passage of Scripture that her husband, who the Bible already said was old, has probably passed away between this time period because he is not mentioned at all in this passage of Scripture. Verse number 3, and it came to pass at the 7 years end, that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha had done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore unto all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day she left the land even until now. And I'm telling you, this is quite a story about, I'll give you, now we're just going to feed the flock today. I'm not going to wind up preaching. I want to have a grazing service. I want us to get something out of the Word of God, a blessing today. So I want you to just really enjoy what's going on. But I'm going to give you something that I got while I was reading this, and I've never read it before, never got it before until I was reading it right now. That I just got through reading is a picture of Israel at the beginning of the millennial reign when all of their land is going to be restored to them and everything that was taken away from Israel will be restored to them by the king. I just got that reading it. Just picked it up. There's a typology right there. Man. Now, I have a tendency to want to preach on Elisha, Elijah, and all these kind of things. So I'm studying last week, you know, and I'm reading, and I'm wanting to preach on the raising of this son, okay? By the way, there's a typology in that. It's a picture of your children that are born to you who come to an age where they're spiritually dead. They got to be saved. That is a picture. That's what I was going to preach on, but I'm not going to preach on that. Okay? But it is a picture of you. You have a child. It comes to a certain age. I'm going to tell you something. You listen to me. There comes a time when a child needs to be born again. We call it the age of accountability. It has to do with the name being blotted out. It has to do with the fact that there comes a point. But anyway, it's a picture of salvation. It can also be a picture of a wayward child how to bring a wayward child back to life, back to God. Okay, but there's a lot of things you can do in there. Okay, now, but what I want to preach on today, as I was reading, every time I start reading this whole passage of Scripture, I'd get into verse number 8, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman. And I could not get past that. Every time I try to go preach on something else, the Holy Spirit bring me back, great woman, great woman. I wanted to ask you, how many times in Scripture does God call a woman great? I don't know any other times. He says, there is a lot of great women. And I would encourage you, I told my daughter Susanna not too long ago. I said, Susanna, you do yourself a great favor by studying all the women of the Bible. I would encourage every woman in this Bible to know the book of Ruth inside and out. You need to know the book of Ruth inside and out. You need to know the life of Esther. You need to know Rahab. You need to know Eve. You need to know, and I'm telling you, God has given these to you to study, and it really be an encouragement. So I would, if I were you, I'd encourage your young daughters to really study the women of the Bible. But God called this woman before anything ever happened. Watch this. Before she did any of this stuff, before she made herself a blessing, God called her a great woman. That tells me that there was something going on with this woman's heart and her mind and her soul a long time before she ever had the opportunity. That the stage was set by her disciplines in Christ before the opportunities ever came along. Did you know that's really the way life works? Is that you're going to have to prepare yourself when you don't even know what God's going to bring down the pike. You're going to have to be living right, doing right, growing in the Lord, having Christian disciplines and following the Lord in a way. And then, because you never know what God, I've often wondered what I've missed because I wasn't prepared for it. Or because I'd messed it up so God couldn't bring the blessing in. So, there's a passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:58. If you want to write down a reference. There, it says, wherefore, as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, did you pick up that years later, God was taking care of this widow after a big famine in the land, and He was supernaturally and sovereignly watching out over her life? It says over there, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That's what the New Testament says. This woman is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. How many knows that? She's in there. You know where she's at? It's where it says at the end of all that list of people, and women had their dead raised to life again. By faith, women had their dead raised to life again. She is spoken of in Hebrews chapter 11, although she's not mentioned by name. God said she is a great woman. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10, I'd like for you to turn there, and then we're going to start filling these in, and we're going to move quick. And Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10, if I can get there. Seems like I'm slow on the go this morning. I think you need to really, some of you wonder whether God is going to reward your labor in the Lord. Some of you wonder, well, you know, is this going to pay off? You know, how many of you wives wonder, is all this diaper changing and all this wiping up vomit and changing clothes and all this dishwashing and everything, is it going to pay off? Is it going to pay off? Is it, you know, and then you can, if you're not careful, you can get devastated by your own children. This woman got devastated by her own child. Well, it says in verse number 10, I want to give you a promise verse, a blessed verse to anchor your soul, to give you something to hang on to, ladies. You men can just kind of take it easy this morning, okay, problem. Verse number 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Let me tell you guys going to jailhouse something. God ain't going to forget that. You can mark it in your day book. I don't care what you've done, what you do in this church to help get this church, to help move this church along in the work of God. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name. That's how a righteous good work is. It's always done toward His name. Ye have showed toward His name in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Let me tell you something. God's interested in people who minister to the saints. And that's what this lady did. And I believe that's why God said she is a great woman. So let's look at, now here's what happened. I kept trying to get a message. All God just says to me, hey, Reggie, did you ever wonder why I called her great? You ought to ask yourself some good questions once in a while, Reggie. It might help you. So I said, well, Lord, why did you call this woman a great woman? And so we take off. Number one, she was hospitable. She was hospitable. If you want to be a great woman, exercise hospitality. Hospitable. I could give you preach a message on this, right? There's a reason for hospitality in the Bible. There's rules for hospitality. There are risks in hospitality. There are regulations to hospitality, and there's rewards for hospitality. How's that for a sermon outline? You need to be hospitable. This woman could have never been used of God, and God said she's great because she's willing to be hospitable. But you know what? Americans have just about lost hospitality. I'm telling you, it beats anything I've ever seen. People don't even want you to come visit their home. They don't want you on their place. They don't want to see your car drive up. They don't want anything. We're getting like the city dwellers. They don't know who lives next to them. We don't know who lives down the road from us. And a lot of it's because they don't want us to know who they are. I've had literally them say, I come out here because I want to get away from everybody, not want anybody around. Leave me alone. Put up no trespassing. Get out. Stay out. Dogs here. We'll kill you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Christianity is a faith that exercises hospitality. And there's nothing wrong with having people in your house and inviting people over. And I do want to say today, Don Zinn may be a rough old deal, but I'll tell you what, he's probably one of the best people in this church to have people over to his house. And his wife, Sheila, is the one who, he does the inviting, you do the cooking. I understand this. But I'm telling you, at least he's concerned about people, invite people in. Hey! Listen, we need to get back to hospitality. These folks right down here had me up for supper here a while back. I'll be honest with you, I go all I want to go. If I stayed home and stayed on my farm the rest of my life, it probably wouldn't hurt my feelings. Okay? I'm tired. I'm just fuzzed out of life in a way, a part of just people. Okay? Boy, what a blessed time we had up there in their homes. Hospitality. I want to encourage you. Don't invite me. It's okay. All right? But invite each other. But think about it before you do, and I got to roll, got to get on past this thing, but she was hospitable. Second of all, she was friendly. I said she's friendly, not flirty. Amen. Hey, girls, learn the difference between that, being friendly and flirty. Need to learn the difference between that. Some of you girls wonder, can you be friends to all the boys here in church? Sure you can, unless he's a wolf, and unless he takes advantage of your friendliness and tries to make it a flirtatious deal all the time. But be friends to everybody. You boys, be friends to all the girls. Amen. You don't need to worry about getting married till you're about 30 anyway. I'm serious with you. Learn how to be friendly. Hey, what are you going to do after you get married? I mean, and some of you ladies need to understand that friendliness from a guy to be friendly. We need to be friendly. Somebody being friendly does not mean they're flirting with somebody. Could be, but it don't have to be. Shouldn't be in Christianity. Amen. You know what? We ought to all be friendly to each other. Sure, to be able to speak to each other without having wrong thoughts, wrong attitudes, and all that junk and poison and nonsense. Amen. That's right. She was friendly. Number three, she was kind. She was kind. Elisha, you know what he was doing? He was walking down the road, you know, in good old hot days, and he's walking, or maybe he's on a mule, I don't know, but she sees him going back and forth by the wall of the city, that's what the Bible says there, and she is kind. She thought, you know, that guy might be thirsty, he might be hungry. She was kind, she had kindness. The Bible talks about the kindness, the law of kindness is in her tongue. You know, I'm glad that women, by the way, a lot of kids, you know, daddy, he's rough, mama, she's kind. That's kind of the way it was at my house. I was kind of one side. I'd get up, let's go, you know, hustle here and hustle here, and let's go, go. But Karen, she kind of had law of kindness, you know. They think a lot of her mind. That law of kindness will get you a long way in the hearts of people. It will be. It'll get you a long way with people having law of kindness. She's kind. Number four, she was considerate. She considered other people. She just didn't live life about me. She didn't look out there and go, well, he probably just some bum. He probably some no count. What's he doing coming by here all the time? She was considerate. She's very considerate about people. We need to be considerate of people. The Bible said, be careful to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. She is considerate. You know, these are the things that made her great. She was hospitable. She was friendly. And she was kind. She was considerate. Number five, she was caring. She got considerate. She didn't just talk about it and think about it. She was caring. He said to her, all this care that you have shown to us. I'll tell you something. Let me tell you something about, listen, my mom and daddy was growing up. We didn't have as far as I remember, we didn't have a consistent pastoral situation, but we had several preachers come through the church. We went to church down there. In fact, many over the years, some stayed for quite some time, some stayed for just a little while. But I can remember my mom and dad having Hugh Sawyer down to dinner. He was a great preacher. When I was a little boy, I can still remember him preaching. He was very much preached on the second coming of Jesus Christ. But I remember him having him in my home. I remember my mom and dad, if Oscar and Gladys was around anywhere, they'd have Oscar and Gladys. I get letters from Gladys still this day. One of her greatest memories is being down at mom and dad's house for Christmas dinner and times we had dinner. It meant something to them to be asked to come home to eat dinner. Hey, when visitors come in here, it'd be good if you'd ask them over for dinner. They find out you can't have those kind of people in your house. That's one thing. But I'm talking about be caring for people. Number six, be giving. She gave. She said, you know what? We got bread. We got food. We got water in this house. We got stuff we're going to be giving. That's what makes people great. You have a giving heart. Brother Queen and his wife, bless your heart. You all time giving me stuff. Thank you so much for that good bread. Miss Queen, I know you probably did most of the work, and I'm going to know. You didn't? Okay, he does all the work. But anyway, the family does. I want to thank you, Queen family, for planting your garden and all the stuff that you do, okay? And I appreciate the people who've left jars of honey and this, that, and the other. And all my goodness sakes alive, people's been good. That's being hospitable. You don't just have to have somebody at your house eating all the time, but you can show yourself friendly and you can be hospitable to people. And she was giving. Number seven, she was a keeper at home. You know what the amazing thing about this is? This woman would have never been in the Bible if she hadn't been a keeper at home. Isn't that amazing? She'd have been off somewhere. See, she wouldn't have had time to minister to God's people. Isn't that a sight on earth? But she was a keeper at home. And number eight, she was a homemaker. The Bible says in the New Testament, Timothy talking about, said, a godly woman, she needs to be a keeper at home. I'm not against you doing other projects. I'm not against you helping your husband. I'm not against you doing this. But I'm going to tell you something. The second that your other work gets more important than your home, you're in trouble, man. The second anything out. Can I tell you something? The second serving the church gets ahead of serving your home, you're in trouble, man. You take care of daddy and the kids first. And then if you got time for the church, you help work in the church. I'm giving you some good Bible talk right there. Amen. I'm helping you out right there. You don't neglect your husband and say, well, I've got to get down to church and take care of things down there. And he needs, you know, no, we don't do that. You got things backward. This woman was a keeper at home. She's a homemaker. And then because she was doing what God said, dude, God laid her situation in front of her hand to be a woman that's known all around the world. Now, so she's a keeper at home. Number eight, she's a homemaker. Number nine, she ministered. Now, boy, ladies, you want to get a hold of one. I'm telling you the truth. I sat at my kitchen table and I said, God, show me. Why, she's a great woman, and God said, I'll show you. And boy, I tell you, I began writing. First thing you know, I had 60-some reasons she is a great woman, and I've narrowed them down to 50, so put some together. Don't miss number nine. She ministered within the perimeters of God's design for her life. She ministered within the perimeters. You see, if you ain't careful, ladies, you'll think you've got to be somewhere else doing something else to do anything for God. No. No. She hath done what she could. What God wants you to do is minister within the perimeters of where God has put you. Quit trying to be something you're not, trying to be someplace you're not. Work within the perimeters that God has given you. You're going to be a great woman for God. Now, wait just a minute. I understand the world thinks Hillary's great, but Hillary's not great. I understand the world thinks that Madonna's great, but they're not great. You want to be great in God's eyes, amen? Because I'm going to tell you something. Life's going to shoot by you like a rocket, and you're going to face God at the judgment throne, and it's going to be important to you that you was great in the eyes of Almighty God. That's what's really going to count. And she ministered within the perimeters of God's design. She ministered within the perimeters of God's design. I can't overemphasize how important that is, that you work within the design and the perimeters that God has set in your life. Number 10, she was alert. Oh, ladies, if you want to be a great woman and man, you want to be alert. You want to be alert. What's going on? You know, it don't hurt to know who's passing by your house, who's driving up the driveway. You don't want to be asleep. When you're out shopping, you want to be alert. When you're buying groceries and you got your kids with you, you want to be alert. When you're walking out to your car in the parking lot, you want to be alert. You want to be alert to your kids, what's going on in their spirit, their attitudes. You want to be watching. You just don't be so busy and all of a sudden you say, my man, that kid is totally a different person than he was 2 years ago. No, you don't be alert to these subtle, small changes going on. You don't be alert to your husband. You don't be alert. And I know he needs to be alert to you, but you don't be a great woman, be alert. And she was concerned the next thing. She was concerned. She didn't just have all this stuff intellectually in her heart and mind. She said, I'll do something about all these things that I've looked at. She was concerned. And by the way, I want to encourage you ladies to get involved with Bridget and this Concerned Women of America. I read some of the stuff, and I've known about them for years. Good organization. But let me say something to you. They'll teach you how to lobby from your kitchen table. I love that thought. They'll teach you how to lobby from your kitchen table. Let me tell you something. God is still looking and God is still begging for some great women in this country. And you ladies in this church can be great women because you can lobby from your kitchen table and you can raise kids that's going to change this world. I'm telling you, you ought to get excited about being a great woman for God. And she was compassionate. She was alert. Number 10, she was concerned and she was compassionate. Tell you, she cared. She could move. Number 11, in verse number 5, you'll find out she was observing and very perceptive. She said, I perceive, watch this, I perceive this is a man of God. Ooh, ladies, You know something, your husband, he may be like Karen's husband, not so sharp about some things. And he's not just quite on the ball about some things. But oh, I'm going to tell you, husbands, God gave you and I a helpmate that's pretty perceptive. She's pretty perceptive. Some of you guys have drove home and said, you know, boy, I think that old boy's a pretty good fella. And your wife said, honey, you better take another look at him. Well, what's the matter with it? Just listen to me. He ain't all that he's claiming to be. You need that perception of your wife. That's what makes a great woman. She is perceptive. She said, you know what she said? She said, honey, this man ain't no phony baloney. He ain't one of them prophets of Baal. He ain't in it for the money. He ain't in it for self-acclamation. This man's a real man of God. And if he's a real man of God, I think we ought to get in and help him a little bit there. And she was perceptive. Number 12, she was discerning. In verse number 9, you can read it there, but if you want to write down the verse, she was discerning. She discerned what was going on in this man's life. Let me tell you, number 13, she had a servant's heart. Oh, if you want to be great, any person wants to be great, you're going to have a servant's heart. Oh, you know what God's doing? Some of you think God's just some of you think God's coming down every day and wants to polish your crown and straighten out your feathers on your wings. Let me tell you what God's doing. God's trying to kill your flesh. He's trying to get you to crucify you. He's trying to get you to die to yourself every day. And to be a servant, you've got to die to yourself. Amen. How many of you ladies done figured out if you're going to serve your family, you kind of got to die to what you want to do? The kids were sitting there, and there's one piece of pie left, and you're hungry, but you said, oh, honey, you can have that piece of pie. And the kids grabbed it, and you was like, should have made two. Amen. I didn't get any. But you know what mamas do all the time? I ain't preaching no Mother's Day messages. We're just there in the Bible. But boy, I'm telling you something. Listen, you got to have a servant's heart. Oh, God bless the family who has a wife and a mother that has a servant's heart. She had a servant's heart. And number 14, she was productive. Oh, I like this. You know what? She couldn't say, I hear her saying, honey, would you go down there to the grocery store and get 3 loaves of bread? Said, this guy, I want to help him out a little bit. No, she's making bread. She's productive. She's productive and she's not lazy. On number 14 there, she's productive and not lazy. I want to tell you something. You're not lazy when you say, you know what, let's do? Let's build a little room. Build a little room. And then you're going to get a table and you're going to get a lamp and you're going to get a bed and you're going to get a stool and you're going to set it all up so this guy can come in there and rest and study. And you're going to feed him. You ain't lazy. I'm going to tell you the truth about it is a godly woman's one of the hardest working people I know of in the world. And boy, I'll tell you something, but I've noticed this, they're the happiest ones. And I've just got to stop and say something. And I'm not trying to get on the good side of all you ladies, but I was doing all this week And I said, well, Lord, I know there ain't nobody measures up to everything, but boy, Lord, you sure did send in a lot of good godly women to this church. And could I just say thank you to all you blessed folks that have been such a blessing to this church? I'm looking over at Clark Meyer. Clark, how'd you ever come up with such a good woman as that?
Luck.
Mrs. Meyer, she's all the time wanting to do something for kids, how to teach them how to do things. And she just loves to pour her life into other people. And you know, that's a blessing, amen? I'm telling you, she figured out something to do within the perimeters of her home to be a blessing to other people. She's taught a lot. And Sister Terry and Brother Ed back here, I've got to include Brother Ed because Terry wouldn't be anything without Ed. No, but they, you know what they did? They've taken in Sister... Oh, listen, you know what they've done? They took in Sister Barbara Ingram up there. I said Ingram, I'm sorry. Barbara Hepburn. Strike that from the deal. Or just say, Reggie made another mistake. But I thought about that a lot, Ed and Terry, how you took Barbara in up there. You've loved her and helped her. Not easy. But the Lord is not going to forget. He's not going to be unrighteous, Terry and Ed, to forget your labor of loving you, how you ministered to the saints. And I want to encourage you today. If it wasn't for those people, she'd be in some nursing home where nobody'd know her.
That's right.
That's where she'd be. And if you kids want to take a good look at Christianity, you take a good look at what's going on with some of the folks of this church. The Bible says give honor to where honor's due. Where was I at? Number 15, she had initiative. I ain't going to say nothing, but sure don't hurt you to have some initiative. Number 16, she had vision. Old ladies, how you need vision. I don't know how you could be a mother. I don't know how you could raise a family without vision. Number 17, she was thoughtful. She thought that whole thing out. She said, now we're going to, I can just see her now, honey. I'd like to make it so many feet wide and so many feet this. And the bed will be right over here. And she was thinking, she had it all planned out. Amen. How many of you guys figured out your wife can plan it all out? Amen. She can see it all before you get there. And that's good. She was thankful and she was thoughtful. Number 18, and ladies, you're never going to be a great woman unless you get this one here. She was submissive and considerate of her husband. You read your Bible real careful. She didn't say, honey, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to do it whether you like it or not. We're going to build a place up here for the preacher. And we're going to do this and do that. No, she didn't say that. Well, she's pretty smart. You know what she said, ladies? Hey, ladies, you got something in here. Watch this. You want to get something? How to get something? Your husband go along with you? She said, let us. I pray thee. You read your Bible close. This woman's smart. She didn't say, well, I think we need to do this. And I've got my checkbook and you got, no, she said, let us. You know what? She wasn't moving ahead without her husband in it, with it. She got her husband on board of the project God had designed for her. You'd be smart to get your husband on board. I'll tell you what, you'd be stupid if you don't. Because he'll fight you. Or he'll resent it. Okay? She was submissive and considerate of her husband. And you'll find that throughout her whole deal. Number 19, we got to run. I'll tell you what, I'm hot. She was organized and industrious. She's organized. Can I tell you something? Organization to me, and the older I get, the more organization is so important to being, to getting things done in life. Clutter will kill you. You'll trip over it someday and break your neck. Oh, how, you know why stores can be successful? It's because they got stuff on shelves and it's orderly. How many of you got stuff but you don't know where it's at? So you went to town and bought another one because you can't find the one you got. You know why you're buying it off them? Because you're not orderly, not organized. I mean, it's pitiful the stuff we got that's buried down in there somewhere. Unbelievable. This woman was organized. I want to tell you something, ladies, you only help the finances at your help, at your house, you get organized. And you be industrious, all right? You know what I'm going to guess? I can just imagine she might have said, honey, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll stay down here in the ground and I'll take a shovel and mix some mud if you'll carry stuff up there. Because see, this building was built up on top of the wall. I don't know, but I can just see her out there with a shovel and some water and some concrete and saying, I'll mix the mud or I'll help carry stuff. You know what? I found out that if you'll just let ladies know, they can be very, very helpful out fencing. Amen. And very, very helpful out working cattle. They can be a blessing. But don't holler at them. Number 20, this is so important to be a great woman. She had an eternal focus. She had an eternal focus. You know what she was doing? She was doing something that's going to mount for eternity. She wanted to help and get involved in work that's going to last. She had an eternal focus. Number 21, we've got to roll. She wanted to help in the work of the Lord. This is this deal, make me a blessing. She wanted to help in the work of the Lord. I think about the ladies who go down to Camp Joy and cook and clean. And I think you're having a cleaning down there on your 23rd van. And I think about the people who go down there and work and labor and stuff. And them kids going down there having a great time getting saved. And don't know about the people that was down there picking up leaves and raking and cleaning and fixing stopped up stools and all that kind of thing. But they just want to help. You know, people love. I found something out. God's people want to get involved in something that they think is going to amount to something to get somebody saved. That they want to get behind that. And so number 22, old ladies, they got to get this one. She was brave and courageous. Number 22, she was brave and courageous. You say, Reggie, how in the world is she brave and courageous? Can I tell you something? You need to get behind the scenes. Elisha was not the most liked guy in Israel. Can I tell you something? It's almost dangerous being connected to him. He was hated by the king of Israel. In fact, the king of Israel one time said, I'll tell you my life or his, I'll get him. Elijah was hated. Jezebel wanted to kill him. These men were hated by the political and the social structure of the country. And when you identified yourself with them, kind of like going to Liberty Faith Church, you get identified with it, and there you are. No, she was brave and courageous. She didn't care what the rest of the country thought. She said, I'm going to stand by the man of God, and I'm going to be a blessing to the man of God, and I don't care whether the king hates him or not, and I don't care if it might cost us, I'm going to stand where truth is and where righteousness is. And so, Anyway, she wanted to be a help to the work of the Lord. She was brave and courageous. Number 23, she was content. Verse number 13, oh, I'll tell you what, this thing gets sweeter and sweeter. She's moving on down through there, and one day Elisha came by and stopped by, went in to lay down, and he got to thinking, man, this lady's been a blessing. This folk, this family's been a blessing to me. And he thought, boy, what can I do to be a blessing to them? He said, Gehazi, go call that Shunammite woman and ask her what we can say. Maybe I could speak to the king for her, because he did have some influence in the country. He just helped him get out of a bad situation with three kings, you know. And he thought, maybe I can do something for her. And she walked in there, and Gehazi said, what can we do for you? You've had all this care for us. What can we do? And she said, I do well for my own people. Whew, I got to listen to that. She didn't use her, what she had, you know what she didn't do? She wasn't using what she had done for other people as leverage for personal gain. That takes us to number 24. She was not selfish or self-seeking. She didn't do what she did, see what she could get out of it. She didn't say, God, I did this. Now I want a blessing. She wasn't doing it for those reasons. Number 25, she was not looking for temporal rewards. This is so important, because you know how you get hurt in the ministry? Is serve people, and then this dirty dog ear don't appreciate it. And you go, oh, here I did all this, and I tried to be a good, you know, I came to church Wednesday night, Sunday night, and Sunday morning, Reggie still didn't say thank you or shake my hand. If we're not careful, we're doing things for human reward, not for eternal rewards. Do it for the Lord. There's so much we could say here. Number 26. She was accepting of God's will and design. Now, she was accepting. Say, Reggie, what was that? She didn't have no children. Whew. You know what the Bible said, that they're never woman never satisfied, the barren woman never satisfied, okay? This woman had accepted God's design for her life. Her husband was old. I don't know what the reasons were, whatever. The Bible just says he was old. And She had an opportunity. Actually, she could have literally let her heart explode in front of him. I'm telling you something. Down in her heart, this woman wanted a child, but she wasn't going to use her spiritual ministry to try to extract a blessing out of God. She wasn't doing a swap and trade business with God. I'm going to tell you a little something. If we're not careful, we use God as a slot machine. We think we put in, and that ought to come out. We think we put into God, it ought to come out. We get that burned into our head if we're not careful when we're little. And we think that, and you know what? The real test of maturity in your life is how long you can wait for reward. Can you wait till you die for reward? That's the test of maturity. This woman did not use that when asked, what can I do for you? She didn't say, well, I'll tell you something I'd like. I'd like to have a baby. And I'd like you to tell me why God hadn't given me a child. She's accepting of God's will. She said, I dwell with my own people. She didn't use it as a chance to murmur and complain against God. what did I get number 26? Okay, she was accepting of God's will and design. She wasn't complaining. She wasn't murmuring. Number 27, she was loving and faithful to the family she had. Can I just say this? That she'd lived in 2013, she'd left him. She said, I'll go get me a young man. That's about the way they're doing it nowadays. I'll tell you what, she was loving. She loved her husband. She stayed with her husband. She was faithful to her marital vows and stayed in there. Amen. Number 28. She was receiving and accepting of children. Why, she'd have been 2013 and the man of God said, at this time of life coming up, you're going to have a son. Oh, no, I don't want any kids at my stage in life. I mean, I've seen more women act like that. You can, don't say it. She said, I'll take a kid. I'll take his child. She's receiving and accepting the child. Amen. And number 29, she was motherly affectionate. That's in verse number 20. It brought that sick child up there. Can you see that picture of her, that child sitting on her knees till noon? I mean, folks, listen, there weren't emergency rooms and there weren't all that stuff. What could she do? Can you see her sitting there with that child on her knees? Now, we're going to move into power mode here now. Because at verse 20, at this point in the game, she's got a dead boy on her hands. The only boy she's got. Verse number 30, she was full of faith. I found something in here that blew my mind away. she's full of faith. First thing she did, she took him back. Now watch this. If she had not built the little chamber for him to stop, she wouldn't have had the place to took the baby, to put him on, to lay him on that bed. Because she had been serving God, she had a place and she had a connection with God, and she had favor with God, and she, and you know what? I mean, I hate to say this, but she was cashing some chips in right now. Okay, she takes him up there, and she lays that baby on the bed up there, and then she tells him all about, you know, hey, get ready to go and go take a dip out. But in verse number 26, there's something you need to keep. Verse number 23, he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him? That's your husband. It's neither moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Hey, ladies, did you hear what she said? Did you hear what she said? She exercised one of the most powerful New Testament doctrines there is. The word of faith. She said, it shall be well. And she spoke it. Watch this. You can do this your own study. And about three verses later, she's asked a question three times. Is it well? Is it well? Is it well? Boy, you talk about preaching material. She comes back at the last of verse number 26 and says, it is well! And her baby was still dead. That's a picture of your experience. Here comes tragedy. Here comes sorrow. She makes a statement of faith. It shall be well. Here comes the devil. Here comes the doubts. Is it well? Is it well? Is it well? God will let your faith be challenged. And she comes back and said, it is well. Not only shall be well, it is well. How many times is that well mentioned now? Once, twice, three times, four times, and then on the outside is the fifth time. Five times she declared by faith. Five is the number of grace. I mean, there is so much in this thing, it's unbelievable. But she's making a statement. Where am I at? I'm starting to preach and lose me. 31. She took action. She took action. Amen. She didn't sit around the house and say, listen, she didn't sit around in her chair, sit out in the porch and go, wah, 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 and just gripe and moan and claim, and blame God and do all kinds of stuff. She got up and she took action. She sat around whining and mopping and moping and crying. She got up. Put that baby on that bed. Said, get me a donkey up here. Get me a young man up here. Boy, I like what she did. She took at verse number, she took action in crisis. Number 32, she spoke the word of faith. That's what I was talking about a while ago. Number 33, boy, listen, she was both calm and decisive in the storm. I'm telling you what, she kept her mind about her. She wasn't sitting out there banging her head against a rock. I lost my baby. I lost my baby. Get me a donkey up here. Get me a young man up here. Put the baby up there. And boy, I'll tell you what, you talk about action. I like that. Then we're going to go with the next. Number 33, she is calm and decisive in the storm. Don't you like somebody just goes idiotic crazy when something bad happens? And they can't get, you can't get it. You can't even take care of what needs to be taken care of for taking care of those who went crazy around you. Number 34, I like this. She was lively, energetic, and ran. Amen. Do you know what the Bible said about the Hebrew women when they were slaves down in Egypt and they were getting ready to have their children? What they said, they were more lively than the Egyptian women. They give birth before the, what do you call them? Midwives get here. They have a baby. I got tickled this week. Susanna had a wonderful experience. Her and Karen went to check on the cows for me. I said, could you guys go check? We got some heifers calving. And I go check them about twice a day because they're the first calf heifers, you know. And they got over there, and one was having a calf right in front of their eyes. And Karen said she pushed twice, and out come that little old calf on the ground, and he's flopping around. And Susanna told me this. I got so tickled. She said, Daddy said, that cow got up and said she walked around a little bit. She looked around, that calf kind of flipped, and that cow jumped. She said it was so funny watching Mama jump at her own child, her own calf. Her calf scared her. Scared the Mama. Some of you mamas are like that. Your kids scare you, don't they? Okay. But, hey, can I tell you something, ladies? I'm going to make some of you mad here, but hey, don't be sitting around eating moon pies and drinking RC Colas all your life. You need to be alive. You might have to run someday. Amen. Okay. And we move on to number 35. She was full of hope. She was full of hope. Man, I'll tell you what, she didn't let anybody... Number 36, she was not easily discouraged. Did you see what Gehazi did to her when she ran to Elisha? He was going to thrust her away. Get out of here. That didn't deter her. You know what, lady, if you're going to be a great lady, don't get discouraged easily. That's why I know we got a lot of great ladies in this church, because you've lived with us men all these years. If you was discouraged easily, some of the greatest discouragement some of you ladies got your own husbands. Ask my wife about it. Number 37, she was humble. She was humble. She fell at his feet. She was humble. Number 38, she knew how to petition and intercede and pray. She knew how to pray, amen. She knew how to petition God. She knew how to intercede to God. She knew how to pray. Number 39, she was persevering. He said, I'll tell you what to do now. Go on down there now. And he just kind of like he wasn't going to go. You know what she said? As thy soul liveth, as I live, I'm not letting you go. Jacob said, I won't let you go till you bless me. You got to be persevering. You got to keep on praying. You got to keep on serving God. You got to keep on going. You got to persevere. And tenacious. You mean what's tenacious mean? That means hanging on. That means getting a bulldog grip. You don't let go of your kids. You don't let go of your family. You don't let go of your marriage. You hang on. I've put most of you to sleep already, haven't I? Well, I'll tell you, hang on to your marriage. Be tenacious. Get that pit bulldog hurt. I ain't letting you go. And I ain't leaving. So we just will learn to love each other. Yeah, you got to sit out there, act like you don't never have trouble. Some of you nearly shot each other, but you wouldn't tell us here at church that. Some of you women thought about shooting your husband while he was asleep. And you're singing Amazing Grace this morning. Number 40, she was grateful. She went in there and fell down his feet and bowed to the ground. She was grateful. She was thankful to God. Number 41, better get this one. She was successful and victorious. Number 41, she was successful and victorious. You find that in verse 37. Took up her son and went out. She got the job done, amen. I think that's a pretty great woman myself. Now, in chapter 8, we're going to do this real quick. In chapter 8, remember, the old prophet one day said, hey, he said, I better tell this lady what's going to happen. He said, God's going to send a famine to this land. He said, I don't think your husband was alive at that time. And I think he thought, I better do something to try to help this lady. He said, you better go somewhere and where it's going to be somewhere else 7 years. And said, then come back. And what I learned out of that? She was blessed with four things by that. Number one, direction. You better leave this part of the country. Number two, guidance. Number three, protection. And number four, provision. And she got those four things in one package years later, just because she was a blessing to the man of God years before. God said, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to make provision for you. And I'm going to give you direction in life. Number 43, she was obedient to the word. She didn't look at, wait a minute. She didn't come to church that morning. And old Elisha got up and said, now you're going to have to, you need to leave for 7 years and get out of here. And she said, he don't know what he's talking about. He's getting old and senile. I ain't going to do it anyway. No, she said, all right. That's what the word of God says. I'm out of here. She left. Did what God said to do. And she was obedient to the word of the Lord. Number 44, she had the wisdom of knowing how to make an appeal. Now, this is one of the most beautiful stories you ever seen in your life. She comes back after 7 years, and guess what? I can't imagine somebody took a widow's farm away from her. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus spoke about devouring widows' houses, you ought to be in my business. And I'm going to tell you something else going on. Churches are devouring widows' houses. And preachers are devouring widows' houses. Under the cover and blanket of ministry. Yes, sir, buddy. And while she was gone, they devoured her. Took her land, took her house. She comes to the king, and she had, number 44, she had the wisdom of knowing how to make an appeal. She appealed to the king. She didn't shoot the guy that had her house. She appealed to the king. Number 45, and this is so sweet, and I hope you get this. She walked with and lived under the sovereignty of God. Because if you remember the story well, the day she came in to the king, guess who happened to be sitting next to the king? Amen. Gehazi. And guess what the king asked Gehazi? He said, Gehazi, you've been running around there with Elijah for a lot of years. I said, boy, he's done some great things. Tell me about the things that Elisha's done. And he starts to, well, one day, he said, there's this woman that he told her she could have a child. And he goes, and he's telling all about raising that son. He raised him from the dead. He stretched himself off on him. He put his mouth to his mouth, his eyes to his eyes. He stretched it and said that boy's body got woman. He's there telling the king and all of a sudden, oh, king, oh, king. And he goes, that's her. Yeah. And that's that boy. What an accident. What an accident. Oh, you ought to get a hold of this in here. When you're being a blessing to the work of God and the people of God, God is going to sovereignly move ahead of your life and He'll be out in front of you all the time. And He'll take what you thought as terrible and horrible things and turn them into great testimonies of His grace and His goodness and His sovereignty. Number 46, she was abundantly blessed. Guess what? How many of you caught that she got all 7 years given back to her? Did you read that? It's in there. He said, tell you what. He said, you restore unto her. Don't just give her land or house back to her. He said, you give her 7 years of everything that was produced there. Woo! Bet she has some stuff on the shelf. And I bet there's some thieves dragging their foot when they drug all that stuff back up to her house. Well, number 47, she really never lost anything, and you'll never lose nothing serving God. Number 48, she was eternally memorialized. You want to count for eternity? Serve God, serve His people. She was eternally memorialized by God. Number 49, and some of you's getting ready to go. We're about out of here. She was modest in her entire person. Never tried to attract attention to herself. You say, Reggie, how do you know that? Because she never one time bragged on herself. She never one time said anything to bring attention to herself. She was modest in spirit. And I believe because she was guarantee you she is modest in appearance. And she never one time thought she herself was great. And can I tell you, great people don't, really truly great people don't think they're great. Because they know they're not. Any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You know one of the reasons she is a great woman? Because she didn't think she is great. She's modest. Number 50. She lived her life with eternal purpose. With eternal purpose. And I run out of paper. I ran out of, and I was going to put one other thing on there. The two things I was going to do was one was about the it is well, the five it is well deal, the grace of God. And okay, but I got one more to give you in this chapter. Now, I ain't figured all this out, but some of you may go home and get this, but I got part of it. In that chapter, 2 Kings chapter 4, I said we was just feeding. We just hit a patch of alfalfa here. Okay? I want to show you something. In chapter 4, now, some of you go home, you figure this out, and you help me and come back and tell me about it tonight. By the way, tonight, Brother Danny Friend's going to have a good message. He told me he will be running from one side of this church to the other. He will be hollering at the top of his lungs. He will be running down the tops of the backs of the seats. I don't want to miss it myself. But I'm telling you, come tonight, I guarantee you guys have got something for you. I think it has something to do maybe with guns. Now, I just don't know for sure, but I think maybe. Now, watch this. In chapter 4, we're out of here. Chapter 4, verse number 4. Everybody watch this. Now, this is whenever the woman with the oil, remember it? When thou art come in, thou shalt... Three words. What is it? Shut the door. Watch this. Now, this is fun. This is Bible study fun. Shut the door. Look down in verse number 5. So she went from him and what? Shut the door. Okay, now, watch this. Look at verse 21 of that chapter. We move to another scene with this other woman. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and did what? Shut the door. Look at verse 33. When Elisha come back, he went in therefore and did what? Shut the door. How many times has the door been shut? Four times. Whew. Four is the number of the world. Four is the number of the world. And the Holy Spirit whispered to me, but the fifth time, Reg, you'll be grace. And in the Jesus is the one who spoke it the fifth time, when thou... prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast, shut thy door. Pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. This is an Old Testament example of the New Testament doctrine of prayer. Jesus just didn't say that in Matthew 6:6. I pulled that out of the air. He pulled that out of the Old Testament and said, I want to show you how to get your prayers answered. And it's all by the grace of God. Five times shut the door. That's enough for one Sunday morning, isn't it?